enjoy a good squeeze.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Margo.
And I'm August.
And this is A Good Squeeze.
The show where we squeeze a little bit of that James Bond into our everyday lives.
That's right. And today, we're doing it different, but same. We're doing it different because it's
not... You say that every episode.
Well, yeah. It's because
we're doing it a little different this
time.
We're
not consistent. We do something different every single time. Mm. So, but it's the same because we're bringing back a familiar face on A Good Squeeze.
That is right. We got a special guest on the show today. Please welcome back Brad of Sanderson and Rhodes. Welcome back, Brad. Thanks for being here.
Great to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Last time, see you again. Yes. Last time we had Brad on, we spoke on the idea that was Sanderson and Rhodes, and we'll get back into that here in a little bit. Please check out that previous episode if you dare. But we spoke and promised in a part two with Brad that we would talk some James Bond stuff because we got cut short by a mishap of technology.
Yes.
But yeah, so today we'll be also reintroducing our Bond blind ranking game, and who better to have along than Brad of Sanderson Rhodes.
Yes, all right.
What do you got drinking there? What do you got drinking there? What do you have to drink there?
Yeah. I've got a white wine. It's an Italian white wine.
Ooh.
Actually, it was a varietal I didn't recognize, which is usually a good thing.
Yeah.
Old world wines, you're like, I don't even know what that grape is called. So I will plead ignorance, but I will say it's pretty good.
Nice.
Classy.
I also want to tell our audience we're very mellow in introducing Brad because obviously we said hello prior to the podcast, and that's when we got all our like, hi Brad, how's it going? Like, you know, everything. I don't know. I caught ourselves being like, hello Brad, welcome. Like, I was like, that sounds unwelcoming. So
I don't think it was that.
I don't want people thinking anything about us.
Do you know what this is?
Are you drinking a Sanderson and Rhodes?
I'm drinking a Sanderson and Rhodes cocktail.
Amazing.
Let me take a sip. Tastes like watches. Yeah, as a thank you last time for Brad being on our show, I curated, made up a Sanderson and Rhodes cocktail. So hopefully,
which was an honor, by the way.
Oh well,
no, that is
so big thing.
That is the ultimate. I might just shut it down here. I might not even do the watch case anymore.
Because
all I was really after was that.
Yeah, you peaked. Right?
I didn't know who or when or why, but I'm not a complainer.
That's fine. That's good. Yes, indeed. So I'm enjoying that. And Margo, what do you got? Air.
I'm not drinking nothing.
Water?
I drank all my water earlier, so now I'm drinking nothing.
Okay, too.
That's all right.
I do have a question before we get started with the game.
Mm-hmm.
Sanderson and Rhodes, Brad is making a traveling watch case inspired by James Bond, but also inspired by the old world travel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any new news, any updates? I know Brad of Sanderson Rhodes has a excellent Instagram where he documents his journey, essentially. Mm-hmm. You can find him at Sanderson and Rhodes. And you also have a website, correct? SandersonRhodes.com.
Yeah, we've got a website. I mean, it's pretty bare bones. It's just a landing page so that you can throw your email address in if you want to be on the waiting list when the case goes live. But most of my activity is over on Instagram. It is sporadic. Sometimes I'm on there a bunch, and sometimes I disappear for a minute because of work, because of family, because I'm working on trying to bring this product to life. But there has been actually a lot of activity. You might call it a flurry of activity, but it kind of comes in fits and starts since the last time that we talked. At the time, I think I was telling you guys all about the vision. And then I was saying, you know, I've got some different feelers out there of people that were making me samples. And since we talked, I've had 3 samples made. I don't know if you can actually, you know, your listeners can't see, but you can see them off in the corner behind me, strategically placed, if you will.
Oh, what's that over there?
So I had a few samples made. And I'm having a 4th one made right now. That is going to be complete in mid-February. So when I see you guys in early March, if anybody else who's listening is going to go to the Quantum of Solace screening in Pennsylvania, I'll bring them down with me so you can check them out. You know, they are in various stages of completion. There are some, I will be the first to admit, there are some like rough elements to it, which is just, you know, I have learned is part and parcel to this journey, this process, right? Is like the demos of your favorite band's most famous songs do not sound like that studio version. But, you know, it's different when it's like your baby and you have this, you know, this really clear vision in your head and you get some samples made. And I think I was even texting with you, August, that like I got them and I felt these like equal parts of like elation and excitement of this like real thing that I was holding in my hand. And I felt like the air had just been like the wind had been taken out of my sails because there were these elements of them that didn't work out quite right, or maybe I wanted them to do a better job with it. And honestly, also some of it, you know, was like, I learned a lot, you know, seeing these and handling them of like, not all of my design assumptions held up. Some of the proportions felt kind of goofy. Some of the case mechanics didn't work very well. I mean, the most glaring example of my first prototype was the case couldn't close with a watch inside of it. I was like, ooh, that's not good. And it's
Saran wrap, you know, just kind of.
That's right.
That's it.
We are off to the races. But you know, it gave me the chance to get moving, to make some mistakes, to understand, you know, with the different manufacturers and suppliers that are out there. Gave me a chance to figure out and kind of assess which ones are a good fit for what I'm trying to do. And I think we talked a little bit about that last time. You know, just not everybody's a good fit and they make great products, but they might not be the best fit to make your product. And so, you know, with the Sanderson & Rhodes watch case, a few of the things I learned along the way were, first of all, that this is really going to live and die on fit and finish. So the materials and the quality and the, you know, just the feeling in your hand when you hold it, it's going to be the first thing you notice. And I have selected a manufacturer with that specifically in mind. You know, one of the others that I was working with was really impressive with the, you know, the accuracy of the design and the technical qualities. There was just like really excellent tolerances for how they manufactured it, but like their material options just weren't great. And the more and more we went back and forth, the more it became clear that like I really wanted a premium, high quality vegetable tanned leather that was going to be thick and really you know, be noticeable compared to other cases that are out there. That's a whole rabbit hole of how other cases are constructed that I have learned about, and the material compromises that, you know, other folks that like make these cases, make in order to, satisfy mass production, requirements with other producers. And so I ended up walking away from one manufacturer and really choosing to lean in and focus on another partner that was just much better suited in terms of their access to super premium materials, their willingness to do a really truly custom design. And a unique part of what I'm doing is just like, I'm just a guy self-funding this thing. So we're talking really small batch. And most major producers overseas, you know, they're talking thousands of units and we are talking an order of magnitude less than that. And there are just a lot of shops that's not worthwhile for, even if they have the capabilities to do what you want to do. And so finding that kind of unicorn, that has been the journey of the last, like, you know, 4 to 5 months. So I am really confident now that we will have 1 to 2 more samples, dial in the details, and I am looking to have this ready for sale by the summer.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That's happening. That's happening quick.
That's exciting. Please.
Tell me about it. I'm thinking about the production and then I thought, well, I got to get this photographed. I got to figure out the packaging design. I got to build the rest of the website. I'm like, okay, well, this is a lot of work. I got to get going.
I mean, I know a graphic designer out there who wouldn't be able to help, but you know, I mean, just a small detail.
That's crazy.
I know an actor who could be in your commercials.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, you guys are a one-stop shop.
That's right. That's what we try to be. Oh, man. It's been exciting. It's been exciting watching your Instagram and seeing just your updates, your progress. And I remember the first time I saw, like, you shared, whether it was your story or a post itself, that prototype. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited when I saw that. And I'm just excited for you and your pending success. It's going to come. It's going to happen. And I love our listeners can't see it, but I can see it. I love seeing those little guys back there. And
that's amazing.
I keep using the word excited, but that's what I am. I'm excited to hold one at that Bond event. I hope I hope you bring as many as you can.
I will. I'm going to have to pry. So it's become a family affair. I'm going to have to pry one of them away from my 8-year-old because she has started using it for her watches. She had a little, you know, a little Timex, like a elastic watch. But then for Christmas, she got, slightly nicer Timex that she thinks is so fancy. She even said, she's like, how were you able to afford to spend thousands of dollars on this? Which I definitely didn't, but
that's so
I will take the credit.
That's right.
But she's been using one of the cases for it, and it's really, really touching and fun to make them a part of that.
That is
I don't really put them on social media. That's another can of worms, but it is really cool to share it with them.
That's awesome.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, that's so heartwarming too. You've got like that emotional component, you've got the practical component, you've got the marketing right there. I mean, just the vibe, the branding that you're going for, it's really, really sophisticated, but it's got such a warm feeling about it, you know? And I feel like that's just something that people want. That's something people are missing in a lot of their travel endeavors, especially when you're making a new purchase and you're providing all that. I'm so excited to see, like, we're all very excited. Apparently, that's the word of the day.
Excited. And by the way, I road tested one of them last week.
Oh, for real?
Road tested the Sanderson Rhodes.
I had to travel for work last week, and this is what the one that we are really going to dial in the designs on. But it wouldn't close well with the watch pillows that go inside of it were just a bit too big. And so the height of the watch was just too elevated. Cause that's one of my things about this. I said, to the manufacturer, I said, I really, really want to prioritize it not being too big. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we're going to have to tweak all these other dimensions to make the space work. We're going to have to custom do everything, but I was able to basically, jerry-rig some homemade watch pillows so that it was actually able to fit in there. So, so now it fits, and I was like, Eureka, great. Here's the dimensions. Here's how we need to do it. Mm-hmm. But it was so much fun actually putting that in my suitcase for the first time, and taking a trip with it. So, and you know, now my hope is to get this out in the world and just like see all the other places that people take this. Cause like I told you guys the first time, you know, it's just a watch case, right? Like you can get 1,000 of these. It's really about the feeling, that this or anything else that you choose to bring with you, inspires in you to want to go and see whatever it is out there, whatever your adventure is that you're going to go, you know, kind of write that story.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's the pitch. I love it.
I love seeing, like the questions you even ask, of like what style do you like the best, or what do you all think of, like, was it a natural patina or natural leather, kind of like an untanned, and it would naturally gather.
That's been a blast. And honestly, like, I
love those questions.
I always get more responses than I expect, and I have to tell you guys, because you've been so gracious having me on here twice, and I was joking on Instagram earlier today, like, who needed 60 minutes of exposition on a watch case, right? But like, I have to thank you both, because not only was it kind of you to, you know, bring me on here and talk about this little passion project of mine, but the the direct messages that people have sent unsolicited, talking about how, you know, excited they are about it, or how much this conversation we had last time resonated. And I was even talking to my wife about this earlier in the week. I was like, I'm just so blown away that, like, you know, to get like an unsolicited, you know, kind, thoughtful message from somebody out of the blue. And for any of those people, like, just thank you. It means the world to me. I do this because I think it's fun and I'm really excited about it. The idea that it connects with other people's is really just an absolute blast.
That makes me real happy. That's wonderful. That's really cool. One, I'm glad that you got something more than just out of this, like, you know, interaction,
more than just a friendship,
more than just us hanging out, you know? But that's really, thank you. I'm so happy to hear that, really, mm-hmm. truly. And I hope our fans are behaving, and being kind. No, I'm joking. They're a great bunch of people, but, that's great. I'm happy to see that. And your platform's growing. You're clearly, the engagement is growing, and man, once this launches, it's gonna bring you results, and it's gonna bring memories, and, you know, it's gonna solve someone's problem out there. Someone's, you know, like you said, putting watches in their socks and being like, "There you go, this is good enough." You know, like, it's right. It's happening.
Well, and in a way, it's already been a win, because, like, yeah. You know, I think about, you know, the way we met last year, and all the other people in the Bond community that have been just super kind and engaged and supportive. But it's like, you know, don't just have to talk about that. I've moved on in my conversations with a lot of people to so many other things and connections and common interests that go beyond, you know, the watch case idea. It goes beyond, you know, Bond. You know, it's usually just like a launching pad for mm-hmm. the conversation. And so honestly, like, that right there, that's enough. And I think you guys were talking, to Luke, mm-hmm. Bond's apartment. You were talking about how you've made this conscious decision to not chase engagement and really just focus on quality conversations and community and connection. The results just kind of come as a byproduct, mm-hmm. of that kind of stuff. But like, doing that kind of stuff is just really enriching and satisfying.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. couldn't have said it better myself, because it's so true. Mm-hmm. This last year, we'll say, even though it's come August would really be a year, this last year has been wonderful to really mm-hmm. engage with just people and talking on this little platform we have on Instagram, making connections with people like yourself mm-hmm. and others out there. It's really been something I've kind of said it a few times as we sit, but something I wasn't expecting, something I didn't know I would enjoy so much. And the fact that it's kind of just naturally happened over mm-hmm. this last year has been really wonderful.
The connection always means more than the engagement. Mm-hmm. And I feel like one person telling you, "I like what you're doing," is always going to mean so much more than 10,000 people just looking at it.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's, you know? I would take that like heartfelt message is more than whatever a meaningful amount of likes and shares right. looks like, right?
Yep, I agree.
And I know you guys have said that you had an intention for this year to do more guests. And I have to say, like, I ate up the guest episodes that you guys had last year. I mean, like, the conversation with Luke was awesome. The conversation that you guys had with David Zaretsky, the Bond Experience, like, that was mm-hmm. such an awesome conversation. And it went so far, like, off the beaten path in the best way. I was like, I feel like I just went on like a personal journey with everybody. It was really endearing and authentic. And I think at several different points, you guys were like vulnerable on the podcast. It was just so cool.
Gosh, thank you. We're just like, no, you hang up. Like, we're just back and forth giving each other compliments. Right. Honestly, Brad, thank you so much. That means the world to us, really. Yeah,
we are looking to have more guests this year. You know, we have a couple lined up, and those will be announced as they mm-hmm. come. But our first guest of this year.
That's right.
Is you.
You're the first guest.
How about that?
Yeah.
Let's get down to business.
That's right.
Let's get down to business. To defeat the Huns.
So as we had announced, sorry, we went off the beaten path. That was fun. We're going to be doing a blind ranking. Are we all ready? for our three rounds. Is that what we agreed on?
I guess it'd be nine rounds.
Nine
right?
rounds. Oh boy.
No, I do math. Is the answer. I've kept my cards pretty close to the vest of like, is Sanderson and Rhodes a bond account? Is it not a bond account? And now it's like, there's just no escaping the spotlight of making some choices here.
Yeah, bond adjacent. You know, for pressure. The longest time, there's an account out there, Suit Up Authors.
Yeah, Terrence, he's awesome.
Terrence, mm-hmm. yes. And for the longest time, I just naturally kept calling him Suit Up Bond Author. Like, just
I bet he'd love that.
I just kept calling him Suit Up Bond Author, even though it's like not his title at all. I don't know.
You do that a lot.
I know, I do that.
Yeah. That's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But yes, we're going to play the blind rankings. And I think the way it's going to go is, you know, whoever asks the question first, whether it's Brad or Margo, the other two will do their answering.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Cool. That makes sense.
He's like, no, I don't. Can you explain it six more times?
Okay, Marco's itching at the bit.
Sorry, I'm a little selfish. I'd like to go first. I'm so sorry.
You can go first, and I'll let Brad speak.
You know, Brad should go first. I'm so rude.
I think Margo has to go first.
Okay, if you insist. Sorry. Okay. So, sorry, I'm gonna cough.
Oh, that's good listening.
Yeah. At the top of the list, my first blind ranking is your favorite Bond allies.
Bond allies. Okay. Bond allies.
Yeah. I'm going to mispronounce a few of these, and that's okay.
On purpose.
Preferably all of them. I mean, why
on
not?
Purpose would be kind of not a great choice. So this is me genuinely trying to pronounce these right. All right. First up is Karim Bay.
Karim Bay.
Mm. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. He's an old timer. And I think that's a clean slot in at one.
Really?
That's a strong.
I'm going to be giving you guys five, by the way. So it's like.
Right.
Five. Yeah.
He's your number one. I mean, he's a great one. I'm going to put him at two. Only because you never know who might show up to be number one for me. But you're right. It's a one or two, but I'll put him at two.
All right.
Karim Bay.
I didn't really know who that guy was, so I was like, we'll put him first. How important could he be? Because we're like one.
Oh my God, he was in From Russia with Love.
Oh, no.
We just saw him. We didn't see him.
It is a good movie, but I don't remember a lot. It's okay. All right. Tiger Tanaka.
All right. Well, this is going to really seem like I am playing this very linearly, but Tanaka is also an all-timer, and I really love specifically You Only Live Twice, like that the first two-thirds of that movie before it goes off the rails into Crazy Town, which is still fun, but like that man, I love his involvement in it. And he has so many like just funny and witty exchanges with Bond. I'm putting him at two.
Wow.
It could save your life, this cigarette.
Love you.
He might be my number one. I have another one that I had in mind that I was like, if she says it, it'd be number one. But
yeah,
I'm going to put him at number one. I love Tiger Tanaka. I really do.
All right. Number three is Felix, a classic. You knew he was going to be on that list.
I did. And that was who I was going to probably put at number one. But he'll be number three for now.
Felix is tricky because he's been played by a bunch of different actors. So are we talking about any specific one or just in general?
Whichever one you want to put on that list.
Because there have been mixed results on there. So I'm going to put in the aggregate, Felix Leiter gets four.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking like Jeffrey Wright, Felix Leiter gets Jeffrey a good Wright, three.
All right.
Golden. And David Hedison, who plays him in Live and Let Die and License to Kill, also very good. But like the guy who plays Felix Leiter in Goldfinger is not so much. So
yeah, right. Exactly.
All right. Up next is Sir Godfrey Tibbet.
Ooh, okay.
View to a Kill, right?
Yeah.
I got you. Picture.
Tibbet is fun, but minor. And I feel pretty safe putting him at five.
Five. Okay.
I'm also going to put him at five.
All right.
Five for me.
What's left for you guys? You have three.
I have four.
And you have four? Mm-hmm. Okay. Sheriff J.W. Pepper.
Ooh. Number zero, better than one.
Whoops.
He's my number four, I guess.
You're number three. I did that on purpose.
Oh, man. You messed me up.
No, no take backs.
No take backs. I'm not gonna lie, I'm really enjoying playing this game with Bond fans, because you guys are like adding like, oh, and then when he did this and that one, and then oh, when he was portrayed this and that, and I'm just like, uh-huh, uh-huh, okay. Like, I like it. I like the band.
My favorite part of the last one is how somebody else then, after you guys did the episode, like created fan art of you and Mayday going on a road trip. That was so awesome.
I am waiting, and I think my boss listens to this podcast every once in a while. I'm waiting for him to not be in the office, because we have a large format printer, and then I'm going to print it on a poster, and then I'm going to put it on our right on the ceiling above our bed. It'll be great.
And you can, when you're doing the printing, you can swear to your heart's content.
That's right. Thank you for remembering that.
No problem.
Yeah, right. You know, we recently received a great gift of an autographed picture of Clifton James, who played Sheriff J.W. Pepper, mm-hmm. and it's lovingly hung in our James Bond themed bathroom.
Yeah,
and
right in front of you is Roger Moore looking away politely, and then right next to you is him just looking at you dead in the eyes, just smiling, or not even smiling, smirking, maybe
smiling,
a little bit of both.
So that was my list, my ranking.
First question. That was
Brad.
That was tough.
Is it over to me? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
so
sir.
Here we go. Best Bond opening.
Ooh.
Now, they get a little more fun after this, but I was like, we're going right down the middle of the fairway on this first one. So,
and real quick, when you say opening, are we talking like the title sequence, music?
Pre-title sequence, not the credits and the song and all that. No,
you guys might have to describe a few of them to me, because I might not remember all of them. But
August, you can take it first and add some
pizzazz,
exposition, if you will.
Yes.
So first up, we have Octopussy.
So
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen Octopussy. You might have.
That's
seen
a real blind ranking.
Yeah, it is.
That's true.
Three. No, that's a coward's way out. Two. There you go.
It is pretty good.
Two.
It's you know, that's the one where I think I've shown it to you. He's in like this like little stunt plane. It comes out of a fake horse's ass. And he flies around. He like flies through the hangar.
God, I can't.
And then he pulls up to the gas station.
Everything
fill
you describe
up,
is really difficult to imagine. Okay. Comes out of a fake horse's ass. Like, okay.
It's not wrong.
It's a classic. It is a classic.
I'm going to put it at two.
I'm going to put it at, it's going to be four for me. It's going to be four. It's not one I think of often.
You just don't get it.
I just didn't get it. It's
the horse's ass means something more than, you know, it's not even worth explaining it to you. Okay, so here we are.
Octopussy's opening is also noteworthy because it was the first in a long time, and I don't even know if they have done it since, where the pre-title sequence had no connection whatsoever to the plot. So they originated that with Goldfinger, but then in Octopussy they did that too, where it's like a true cold open. It's purely just like a few minutes of madness for fun to kind of like hook you in.
Oh, its own little adventure.
That's
yeah.
wonderful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Up next is The World Is Not Enough.
I haven't seen that. Wait, have I seen that one?
No,
I haven't.
I asked August which ones.
What's that?
I asked August ahead of time, which ones haven't you seen?
Yeah. This, good.
This is the whole thing.
Man, World Is Not Enough, opening sequence. That's strong. I remember I would watch. I'm going to put it at number one.
Me too.
It's one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites, if not my favorite. It's not my favorite. So if you say my favorite, so be it. But, you know, I just remember being younger and watching that scene over and over and over again and being like, it's like 20 minutes long. It's crazy. And
and that boat.
That boat is incredible. And you get to like play through that, and The World Is Not Enough video game. And I used to quote it all the time, like, King, the money. I would do that all the time. And David Arnold's score is incredible at the beginning of that, too.
My thoughts.
I can help you, not from him. So good. Yeah, that's probably going to be number one for right now.
Yeah, for me too.
Solid one.
Yeah. Are you just falling behind me?
Well, I remember right.
I was... I promise, Margo, this is going to break the streak for
no,
you.
No, I'm having a good time.
All right. So next up, Quantum of Solace.
Remind me.
That's the one I play all the damn
time. Oh, the five, because I've seen it too many times at this point. Ooh. Purely because every time someone comes over and they're like, nice TV, he's like, wait till you hear the sound system. And then he throws on that. I have seen that.
That's such a boomer move.
Oh my God. Yes. And it's granted, it's excellent. It's 10 out of 10. And yes, it shows off the sound system beautifully. But after like the seventh time, I was like, maybe we could play something else.
And he so you're like, going to come in late to the screening in March?
Yeah, I'm going to stay outside.
I'm
going to
help set this one out.
I'm just going to tie my shoes really, really slowly at the entrance. I'll be like, hold on. I didn't even think of that. I'm going to see it for like the billionth time. So five, purely, not because it's bad, just because I've seen it too many times.
Fair enough.
I'm tired.
I would make that. It would have been number one, but it's my number two.
Snooze, you lose.
It's my number two. I love that. Two things. I love that opening. Yes, I love it because sometimes some people hate on that opening. They think it's a little too all over the place, the breakneck speed, the
which
jump
it is.
Cuts. Oh, yeah.
But like the more you watch it, you know, the more is like, you know, I forget who said this in the like YouTube sphere, but like the more you watch these movies, like you do not experience it the way like a casual fan watching it in the movie theater experiences it. So like the flaws of a lot of these movies kind of melt away into the background. And nice. You know, in the case of Quantum of Solace, it's like, you know, the quick cut editing is an absolute nightmare and is academically wrong on so many levels.
Yeah.
But if you dig the movie, like it, you know, after a while, you know, you see it enough times, you can process what's going on. It stops mm-hmm. feeling so mm-hmm. fast.
Yeah.
It wakes you up.
It certainly does.
That's for sure.
I know we got a couple more to go through, but I just have to share this madness story. When I was buying a new sound bar, I couldn't decide between two of them. So I literally bought both of them with the intention of returning one. And I stacked them almost on top of each other. And I played that opening to Quantum of Solace 125 times.
I was home for that.
And I just tried one sound bar, and I switched the other, and I just played the whole scene over and over and over.
Meme with Pam from The Office? Like, they're the same picture, yeah. Right? Like, are you in the background, Margo? Yeah,
right. That's exactly yeah. what it was. Oh, man.
I ultimately made my decision, but it was thanks to Quantum of Solace.
Yeah. It sounded the same every single time. Every time. I would hear it, and I'd hear it, and it was like, it's the same. It sounds the same. Anyways, yes.
Number two.
Number five.
All right. From Russia with Love.
What happens?
That's the one where he's like going through the, I guess it's like kind of like a maze, and Bond's like sneaking around, and Red Grant has the garrote wire, and he kills him, but it turns out it's not
Bond.
It's a man with a mustache.
Sneaky. Well... because I was deceived. I think the first time I saw that, I was like, wait, what? What? Mm-hmm. What? I'll put it at three. I don't know how to call that.
The title, what?
Surprise. I enjoy a surprise.
Yeah.
I enjoy a surprise. Oh, yeah,
that was it.
That was the word.
I do like that one. It's classic. It is kind of... I'm going to put it at five, and I hate doing that. It doesn't mean that I don't like it, obviously. I only have five choices. But it is one of those, like, you know what's coming, so it's not really, mm-hmm. you know, a surprise anymore. And, yeah. like, it's like...
Yeah, it doesn't deliver too much after that, like, first viewing.
Right.
I agree. I love From
it'll
Rush
never
With
be,
Love. But,
it'll never
yeah,
be the
that,
same. Exactly.
That piece yeah. of it doesn't do as much for me. The last one, so what numbers do you guys have open?
Three and four.
Three and four. Lucky number four.
I like how you both held your fingers up.
Yeah.
For this audio podcast.
Better say it.
Only Brad can know, okay?
So the last one is The Living Daylights.
What happens in... I'm fun for this game. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what does happen?
You did say in your last episode, you don't ever want to be the nostalgic. You want to stay the novice.
That's
and
right.
You are doing a great job.
I'm sticking to my guns, okay?
That's the one where they're kind of doing like a training and they're using like paintball and
that
stuff.
Was fun.
And then someone's using real guns. And, and then that woman in the yacht's like, I need a real man. And he comes crashing through. Like,
nice.
I need to use your phone or she'll call you back. Why is he Irish all of a sudden?
All right, I guess that's my four.
That's my three.
It would not
be that ranking.
Are
but
you
that's blind ranking.
Are you happy with your list?
No.
Me neither. That's how you know it was a good blind ranking when you go, God damn it, I wish I could
you got me.
Switch yep. a few things. That's yeah. Great. That's good.
That would have been my one of those. Of
oh yeah, well you're done. You're living daylights kind of guy.
I do, I do enjoy it.
I don't like the theme, but the movie itself is good.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? She does not like that theme song.
We will not get into it. We have a whole episode about it.
All right, I have a question for Yinz. Bond travel locations.
Oh.
So I'm not getting specific. It's more like the country or the area. So you know, of all, like, for example, I'll start it off. Switzerland. And that's the whole shebang of every location he's ever gone to in Switzerland. You know what I mean? So where would you rank a Bond travel location?
Okay.
Switzerland.
Well, I'm privileged because I am Swiss and I've been there a few times. No, I'm sorry. Brad, what were you putting it?
I really thought you were going to be like, I haven't heard of it.
Yeah. Wait, what happens in Switzerland?
I will go. Oof. I think I'm going to go three.
I think I'm gonna stick with a three too.
The Swiss are neutral, and so shall I be.
Round of applause for Brad. That was good. That's
funny. Yeah,
I wish I said that.
I was curious where Margo was gonna put it because go to Switzerland once a year.
Enough times.
So I was curious.
Yeah. It is very fun. I don't want to sound ungrateful. I sound like such a brat right now.
Well, your family's there, so
yeah,
we
yeah.
visit.
Three. There you go.
Three. Jamaica.
I have a very fond attachment to Jamaica, Dr. No. Mm-hmm. Just a really fond sentimental attachment to that. I will put it at number two.
Oh. Okay, so now it sounds like I'm copying you because I was going to put it at number two. I'm like, yeah, what Brad said. Me too, number two. That's that.
Jamaica, okay.
Just for the sake of... No, I'm going to stick... I was going to say two as well. It sounds like I'm copying you. I swear I'm not, Brad.
All right, next up, Thailand. Specifically from Man with Golden Gun.
That's going to be a one for me.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, big time.
You want to go to Thailand?
It doesn't help to praise a vacation in Thailand when you have like a rasp and you're always like, oh yeah, I love Thailand. Like, okay. Okay.
I will go five on this one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's not you, Thailand, it's me.
Sorry.
Here's where it gets tough, kids. All right. Las Vegas.
Oh, five. Hard five. 10 if I could.
I have so many regrets. Yeah, I guess I'll use four there.
Good four there. So what do you have left?
I'm not in a strong position.
What do you
I have one left.
I got four.
You got four. Brad has one. I have, in my heart of hearts, I think this is going to work out for Brad, truly.
Oh.
You're number one. Marga's number four. Japan.
Oh, yes.
Japan.
I forgot he goes there.
Yeah.
Ah.
Goes there a couple times.
I'm a sucker.
It's not a trip I would want to take right now at this point in my life. We've got a young family, but like that is a real, that is a real like big trip that I would love to take at when the time is right.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about your list?
I feel better than I did 30 seconds ago.
Okay.
How do you feel?
like trash. It's not my ideal. Do you want to switch?
I thought he was going to say like New York City or something, right. Which, you know,
I forgot.
I don't want to offend the New Yorkers. I just like, I literally live an hour from New York City. So it's not exciting.
Right.
I thought that's about so flipping when I said Japan and leaving Las Vegas for the last one, but I didn't want to be sneaky.
Yeah. You were sneaky though.
Sort of. I mean, people love Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. No offense to anyone who loves Vegas.
All right, Margo. You're next.
My turn.
Next stop.
Man, that was a tricky one. I'm disappointed. All right. Bond girls who would win in a fight against your mother.
Oh.
How do we feel about that? Should we do this?
First of all, my mom is going to be listening to this.
Okay.
So should be nice.
So one.
I have to be nice to myself and to my mom.
And this is all funny, haha. We're not imagining them getting, you know, like in a legit, you know, if this is like pro wrestling. Let's think of it from a pro wrestling perspective.
Will our mothers win? Is that what we're doing?
Well,
here?
The Bond girls who would win in a fight. So one
okay,
being
most likely.
And one being most likely. Oh, okay. Yes. There you go. Gotcha. So you think of your mom as an incredibly strong woman, incredibly strong, stronger than anybody else. truly. But just imagine, yeah.
So what would number one be?
Like, one means the Bond girl wins. And then five would be the Bond girl loses against your mother. Your very strong mother. Very powerful mother. All right. I don't know why I did this. I'm sorry. We can cut this bit out too if we want. Number one.
Just like you guys said with Luke, it all goes in.
Solitaire.
No, my mom would beat up Solitaire. So that's a five.
Five.
I'm going to put it at four only because maybe, you know, Solitaire can see my mother coming, you know.
She's like, 1 second, let me flip the card.
But otherwise, yeah.
Okay. Number two, Natalia.
Natalia is very resourceful and kicks some butt a little bit.
Yeah.
Three?
Mm-hmm. I don't think you want to really mess with a Russian Soviet Union.
She's a level two programmer.
She's tough, but she's not that tough. Yeah. I'll say two.
Two. Two, three. All right. Mm-hmm. Next, Kissy Suzuki.
Think again, please. Kissy Suzuki. I don't know, man.
I think Nadine might mop the floor with Kissy Suzuki.
Well, she's like an agent. For Interpol? Is that who that is? My Bond trivia. I'm not good at Bond trivia. That's the problem.
Someone somewhere is like shaking their head at us, not knowing this answer.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Don't you know?
I should any from now and always, I should always say I'm awful at little trivia facts like that. That's why I keep watching these.
Well,
movies.
The question isn't where is she at, what's she doing? It's would your mom mop the floor with her.
You know what? I'm gonna put her at five.
Five.
Sorry, Kissy.
Yeah, I'd say four.
Four.
All
right.
Agent and title only.
Okay.
That's fair.
In title only.
My mom would kick her right out of her toms.
That's right. All right. Up next, Pussy Galore.
Oh,
I'm a damn good pilot.
Yeah, Pussy Galore, man. I'm curious. I think I could harness a guess of who your last one's going to be.
I think you know.
I'm going to say Pussy's number two.
All right.
I'll put her at three. And so yet again, I have walked right into my last number one being.
I'm here with you.
To the luck of the draw.
I'm here with you. Number one is.
My girl, Stacey Sutton.
Oh. I thought you were going to say Mayday.
I did that on purpose.
That's the opposite of true.
No offense to any mothers out there. Just a fun scenario.
Listen, I think Stacy Sutton is underrated. She kick everyone's ass.
She does own a shotgun.
She is appropriately rated.
Yeah,
that's good.
What do you got, Brad?
The fun part of this is my mom is hearing this and doesn't know who any of these characters are. Just knows that I'm evaluating, you know, which ones could or could not beat her up. And we have a running joke between us about how mentally tough she is. So I'm sure she is. Yes, she's reveling in that.
I hope she's thinking like I could kick all their butts. I could kick all their heinies.
Go get them, Mom.
Yeah.
love you, Mama. All right. We are going back to travel. I was worried for a second that you had this exact question before August. I was like, oh shoot. So this is proof to everyone that we didn't share all of these ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because mine is travel themed and it's adjacent to August's question. But a little different, right? Same but different.
Oh, full circle.
There we go.
Well done, Brad.
So which Bond film would you most want to take a world trip to all of the film's locales?
Oh.
Okay.
I hope I've seen these movies. Just kidding. I've seen all of them.
I'm drawing from only secret.
You could say like a made up movie. She'll probably be like,
I know for years that there are only 12.
Yeah.
Oh god.
All right. So the first one is Spectre.
Mm.
Where do they? Oh, I can use my brain. I'm gonna use my brain this time.
You've seen Spectre.
I'm gonna Google it real quick.
I do love where they go to in Spectre. I love. It's one of those. I love looking at it, but would I want to go there?
Describe what you remember.
Well, they go to, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Mexico City in the beginning.
Mexico City, yes, okay. Morocco.
You've got Morocco.
Mm. Yeah, there's a Tangier. Or is that Morocco?
That is Morocco, yeah.
Yeah. Austria.
Hmm?
Austria.
It's beautiful there. I've always wanted to go to Austria. And where is the... and London, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It is a strong catalog of locations.
It's quite quietly strong.
This is a great category. Well done. I like this. This is like planning a vacation.
I'm going to make that my neutral. That's going to be my three.
I'm going to say four.
Okay.
Dang. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not against it, but I'm going to wait.
I love Spectre.
Goldfinger.
Kentucky.
Oh, I was supposed to be like one. Like, give it a minute. Give it a second.
Switzerland.
Okay.
Are they in Bern or around there in Switzerland? Where else does he go? In Miami.
Miami, Cuba at the beginning.
That brings it down a little.
I'm going to make Goldfinger, although that location, Switzerland's beautiful.
I'm going to say three.
That's your three? I'm going to make it my five.
Mm.
I'm going to make it my five.
Ooh, here's another question. Is it modern times locations or respective to when the films came out?
I didn't contemplate that. So
let's just
whatever
pretend
in
I never
your imagination. Asked. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Booking your own special trip.
Sounds good.
Whether it's through time or
booking your own special trip.
Yeah.
All right.
For your eyes only.
Greece. Where else do they go? Where's that big old rock at? the one with a fortress on top of it.
Oh, okay. I was like Plymouth Rock.
No, don't go to Plymouth Rock.
That was it.
Yeah.
It's a miniature on top of it. Yeah.
I'm going to put that at...
That's my four.
That's my five.
That's my four.
What do I...
Where else do they go in For Your Eyes Only?
They go to the site... I chose this because it's coming up. The Olympics in Torino. They go to Torino.
Okay.
Nice. Well done.
Or Cortina. One of those.
Yeah.
So again, somebody out there is cursing me out.
Say it with your chest and we'll go, yeah, you're right. That's right.
So they have a problem with you. They got a problem with me.
but not with me.
Are you, but you're sticking with your answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be so my four.
Five for me, four for you. Okay, and then I had three, four. Oh, I guess one is my last one.
I have two and one left.
Oh, wait. When am I
think you got two more to go.
Yeah. I've got two more to go. Moonraker.
Space?
Yep.
Oh, man. They do go to some beautiful places.
A lot of other places before that, though.
But they do go to space, though.
There's that beautiful location in France. Although, I don't think it is France in the movie. So, that's like...
In the movie, it's California. That's
yeah,
right.
But they filmed it in France. So, is it California? What do we rank it?
It's California, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
I'm trying to remember which
And they
ranks.
Go to Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Which is... awesome.
And then they go beautiful. To space.
They go to space. I'm going to make that number two.
Can't oh, and they go to one. And they go to Venice, of course.
Oh.
Of course. Of course.
Pigeon double take.
Yeah. Margo's never seen this movie.
I don't need to. We go to space.
What if I told you double taking pigeon?
What? Wait, so, okay. Four was my first one. Then I think I went three. And then I went five. So I have two and one. Right? Were you keeping track for me?
Yes, yes. Okay, you're cool. Two and one.
There's someone yelling at their laptop right now. I'm going to put that at two as well. Space scares me.
Yeah. I wouldn't want a vacation in space.
If someone really twisted my arm and was like, you'll never get to do this again.
Because you'll die.
Yeah. If they said you can do it again later, I'd be like, I'm good. But, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So right, what's our number ones?
Thunderball.
Oh.
Underwater? I'm joking. I'm sorry.
that's a strong number one. For
we
me.
Just saw it, and I.
You want
don't
the Bahamas?
Bahamas, and
also Miami.
Okay. usually there's multiple. That's why I'm like, tell me about my vacation.
The first part of the movie, he's in England, going to the spa.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Shrublands. And there's a funeral.
At Pesky Spa.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm happy with that.
I'm happy with Thunderball. I would love to vacation in Thunderball.
Same.
Yeah.
We may take a trip to NASA, so we'll let you know.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
That'd be excellent. Yes. Please document.
Ooh, document. Mm-hmm. Make a video.
Take your watch case and
throw
test
it
out.
Ocean.
Don't have to ask me twice.
All right.
Ah, nice. That was a great one.
So we got Brad of Sanderson Rhodes. Brad's a watch guy. So I'm going to ask top five Bond watches.
Right, I'm going to Google these as you're telling them. I'm sorry.
Margo, do you want me to like go first and say the watches kind of like a movie that's got lazy exposition?
Yes.
Yeah, so describe them in detail. When are they featured? Okay. How does Bond use them?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, let's do it this way.
I don't necessarily mean in how Bond uses them, but which one would you like to have on your wrist?
Got it. Got it.
Please tell me about them.
All right. I'm going to start off with the Moonraker Seiko, the M354
I know
memory
that
bank calendar. You know that one.
I know that one.
And thank God I don't have to describe this one, because this is the one I'm least prepared to describe.
This would be the most confusing to describe, maybe.
Yeah, it is iconic, but I think for my personal taste, it is going to go in the five slot.
It's just rectangles inside a square, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Just a digital.
That's all. Yeah.
Digital watch has a little calendar inside. Yeah, that's real fancy. Has a light button.
Does it go to space?
And to everybody that's listening, I am saying this with fear in my heart, because August has this watch. And there may be no third invite for this show.
Well, you know.
So this is it.
Even though I own that watch, mine, I would put it number five too, because it's beat to hell. I bought it that way.
Because I know which one it is, I'm going to put it at three.
Okay.
And because you own it, and it goes to space. So
here's a tough one. The Rolex Submariner that Bond wears in Goldfinger.
Goldfinger. Does it have like a...
So this is the Rolex Submariner 6538. This is like the iconic watch, Margot, that like made James Bond wearing a watch be a thing. So okay. It's a dive watch. I love that watch. The watch I wear, this Tudor, is like kind of the modern version of that watch. If you just took it and really just, you know, extrapolated it out, you know, 65 years, it would look something kind of like this. So I really do love that watch, but I want to keep my options open because I've gotten into a little bit of a bad habit here. So I'm gonna pop this one in the two slot.
Okay.
It's a legend.
I'm also going to steal that bit of like, this is the watch that made, because I love how you said that. I'm going to butcher it because I can't talk normal. This is the watch that determined that Bond was always going to wear a watch. I'm going to use that when we're like in and around Bond fans and they bring that up. I'll be like, oh yeah, that watch. Here's the thing about it. I invented this idea. It's this. And then you'll pop up and I'm just going to smack you in the face. I'll be like, who's that? No one. So thank you for educating me. I'm going to steal your knowledge.
I just want to be a resource.
I'm going to put it at 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I just learned about it.
Like, it's amazing. It's incredible. It's the 4.
Yeah. I was going to say 5 to be a stinker, but I was like, yeah, I'll put it at 4.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. This will be for both Margo and I. When it comes to watches, we're novices. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's good, what's bad. I was even talking to Brad yesterday. What's that?
That rhymed. What's good, what's bad. I was even talking to Brad. Oh. Sorry.
And I said, I just love like when watch people are sharing like different types of watches and different brands and just different styles and designs. I've just never heard of them. Like, oh, I like that. So it's like things I didn't know that I liked. And, you know, I'm getting into watches as in slowly but surely.
And that's me too, by the way. I feel like tip of the iceberg with a lot of this stuff. As soon as I start talking to some of the other people that are really into these things, I'm just like way out of my league in terms of the amount of knowledge. But I'm an enthusiast. I enjoy it. So
the next one, the Tag. Is it Heuer? Tag Heuer?
Heuer.
I always said Heuer. I probably said it as a joke and then I just got stuck.
In Pittsburgh, we say Heuer.
Yeah. That's right.
The professional night diver from The Living Daylights.
Ooh, cool. That's a pretty rad one.
Tell me why it's rad, Brad.
Do you think he's ever heard that before?
Didn't we call him Rad Brad?
I'm stuck on the rhyming now.
I don't know if we did to his face.
I'm gonna put that one at 4. It's strong, but it's like, it's a strong, distinctive watch. It's got like a really masculine styling to it. Mm-hmm. That having been said, it doesn't carry with it the like iconography that you associate with some of the more famous entries.
Yeah. Mm. That's fair.
I've never seen this watch until just now when August showed it to me on his phone. I'm going to put it at a 5.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So what do you have left? 2 and 1?
2 and 1. Great.
Brad?
1 and 3.
One and three.
Okay.
All right. We're going strong here. Omega, the Spectre Seamaster 300.
Perfect. Slot that in at 1. I love that watch. It looks amazing on a NATO strap.
Mm-hmm.
Craig wears the hell out of it in the movie. It is so gorgeous. Got the really long lollipop seconds hand. It is a really beautiful watch. It's both like, it's modern, but it looks like it, you know, came out of the 60s. It looks like the old Omega Seamasters from the 50s. That one was just a slam dunk. So we'll put that at 1.
Nice.
Yeah. This is like I'm looking at a picture of it on my mm-hmm. phone here. I'm like, ah, this is what sex looks like. It's incredible. And then
put it at two.
That's your two.
Thanks for asking, August.
I'm talking to Brad. Yeah.
Actually say it and then I'll ask my question.
Okay. So this is your number one, Margo?
I guess.
And this is your number three, Brad. This is the Hamilton Pulsar from Live and Let Die.
Mm. That one, isn't a super, I'll say it's not a super aesthetic watch, which is going to offend some people, but it's got, it's just got like the futuristic vibe, which is just not, that's just not my thing.
Like the Moonraker.
But it is like, it is like, you know, present and prominent early in the movie. And it, that's like when you ring in Roger Moore as the new Bond. Mm-hmm. So it was part of a special scene.
It looks like a special edition Jimmy Neutron cereal box watch. Like, so
it's like an $800 watch.
I'm sure
I'm pretty
is.
Happy that's not in my number one.
I never see. Oh, thanks, Brad. So that's my number one, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure I offended some people. I'm sure it's a beautiful watch and you rock it and whatever, whoever's got it out there, great. What's the worst that they can say about me? That I'm a novice and I don't know anything? Well, they'd be right. So here we are.
Listen, I actually really like that watch. I think I like it because it is so strange. You wouldn't imagine Bond wearing it. But at the time, that was like the first digital watch, right?
And yeah, and like that's the thing that, ahead of the time. That's the thing that is really fun and exciting about watches is that like you think you don't like something for yourself, but then you like see somebody else rocking it and they look so great and it fits their style and their personality and their aesthetic. And like we talked last time about how watches are, you know, this kind of little small personal fashion statement that peeks out from under a shirt sleeve, you know, maybe more, maybe less. And so I think that part's cool about it is like understanding what other people like, and it's like a little window into their whole personality sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, did any of these watches that you named have like a grappling hook or like a laser or an explosive in it or anything like that?
Yeah, I guess
the Spectre watch was like a bomb. It detonated.
Oh.
Yeah. And
that's not safe.
I'm trying to think of the Moonraker watch that had done something. Am I just forgetting?
It went to space. Well, the Moonraker.
The Moonraker watch. Well, so okay, now my history is escaping me, but he did have the lethal darts that came out. I just couldn't remember if that was part of the watch kit.
I can't remember either. I don't think it was. Because he rocks a couple watches in that movie, including a Seiko, is it a dive? Like a big dive watch he wears. I think that's what he ends up taking to space is this more analog Seiko. I don't know.
Okay. That's good to know.
Just off the top of my noggin there. But that's that. Margo.
All right. Bond stunts.
Ooh.
Stunts of Bond from 1 to 5, 1 being the best, 5 being not the best. All right. Kicking it off with the ski jump parachute.
From Spy Love Me.
I wrote it down because I knew you would ask.
You said one.
Super, super iconic.
Super iconic. Yeah.
Awesome stunt.
Mm.
You're
British parachute and everything.
It's so good. It's 2 for me.
1 and 2.
I don't have it at 1. I am going to go. I'm like debating 2 or 3 here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to go 2.
2?
2.
Final answer?
Like 2.5 hour podcast.
Yeah. Like,
no takesies, backsies. Okay, guys.
It's so iconic. And every time you watch it and he hits that jump, the music leading up to it, and then it's just silence. It's like, oh, man. Mm. That's James Bond.
That's right. The good stuff.
Up next, Crocodile Walk from Live and Let Die.
Very impressive that it was done. But when I think of James Bond stunts, that one just doesn't come to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Those crocodiles could have eaten him.
So while August deliberates, I will expound. on the topic, which is like, it's like the most impressive stunt that nobody got killed. Like the stakes were truly so high.
Didn't he but do in the context
of, in, and in the context of the movie, it's a meaningful part of the plot that he escaped, but it's like, it's not that exciting as the viewer. And mm-hmm. maybe that's just also because like the color grading of Live and Let Die is like, you know, just that 70s kind of very muted. And I love Live and Let Die, but like, yeah, that stunt like doesn't do a ton for me. I think I'll put that at 5.
But then like in a real life scenario, if someone was like run across these alligators, you'd be like, I'd rather jump off a plane. Like, for sure. I'd rather do that.
Yeah. I could probably do the ski jump and I definitely can't do the crocodile.
So you said, what number did you put it at?
I put it at 5.
5.
I'm gonna follow suit. It's very impressive, but it's so like quick and fleeting. And there's, I don't know, there's like more, there's even more impressive stunts, I think, in Live and Let Die, including some like boat chase stuff, but at least more memorable. But it's one of the, like Brad said, it is one of the more impressive stunts that it was achieved. But yeah, 5.
5. All right. The plane fight in Living Daylights, where he's at the end, it's like the plane's flying, and then there's like that, what do you call it? That netting that's just like whipping into the.
It's like a cargo netting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some dude's just hanging on for dear life. That's crazy. Anyways, no, sorry, you guys are ranking it though. Here you go.
That one's genuinely suspenseful. I'm glad I don't have to put that at 5. It's not like it's not an all timer for me, but it's pretty rad. I think I will keep it at 4 though.
4. All right.
It's gonna be my 4. I just I'm kind of a stinker when it comes to the Living Daylights. I don't know why. I try, but if I hadn't already taken 5, it probably would have been there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I can't say that. It's 4. It's better than the crocodile jump.
Up next, the jump off of the dam, GoldenEye.
Number 1.
1. Send it.
1.
That one's just so great.
Oh, man. Yeah, number 1. It's the only James Bond stunt I think I might be brave enough to try someday. Maybe. I'm afraid of heights. Definitely so. But I might be brave enough to try it. I'm reading Joe Darlington's book, Being James Bond, for the first time, and he's regaling these tales of venturing to that location to do the jump, and just the like the whole story. I'm just like, oh man, like I want my own story of taking that jump. But then when you watch GoldenEye and seeing it happen, it's incredible. It's incredible.
It's incredible. The stunt's incredible. It's super iconic within the series. It's just a really fun scene to watch. I mean, it's one of those ones you can watch over and over. I feel like the sound design in that scene just pulls you in, and the way they just slow roll the actual reveal of Pierce Brosnan, you know, at every step, the blocking and everything, like they're showing him running, they're showing him clipping to the railing, but there's no reveal. You keep waiting on that. So it builds suspense for that as the viewer, you know, that fourth wall. Like, we're holding this back. We're going to edge you on this a little bit.
It's an incredible.
And then it's so cool.
Introduction to a new James Bond. So if anyone had their doubts of Pierce Brosnan taking on the mantle and you see his character do that jump at the beginning, it's like, holy shit, that's James Bond.
And that was the scene following 6 years of radio silence. Is the franchise dead? Will this character go forward? Like, talk about coming out with a bang. Like, that was, I mean, a lot of people remember Casino Royale that way as a movie, but like, I feel like GoldenEye did that in that one scene. Mm-hmm. It was like, we are so back.
Yeah, easy number 1.
Would you ever do it, Brad? The jump?
Yeah, I think about it.
Okay.
I feel like, I think about it too, even while I'm there. I'll be like, I'll think about it.
Isn't it nice though that you have no idea what that feels like? Doesn't that like add more of an impressiveness to the stunt? Like, I can't even imagine.
That could be so. Maybe you're talking me out of doing the jump. I'll keep the magic.
It is funny. It's become like a fan destination. And so there are all these videos of fans doing it. And it is so funny watching in the movie, the guy does this perfect swan dive off of it. And everybody else is like falling like a little hunched.
Like a frog. Oh my God. All right. So what's left on your ranking?
I think two.
Two. And
I have got three.
Three. Okay. The slide whistle car jump from Man with the Golden Gun.
Super cool.
Phenomenal. Right where it needs to be. An incredible stunt, terrible sound effect. But like, I can't believe they actually did that.
It's only become more perfect over time. Time has really like given it a patina with a, you know.
Yes. I think the slide whistle's finally becoming loved. And embraced.
I have a blast with that movie, warts and all, and it has taken a beating over the years.
Oh yeah.
But I feel like I see more and more people warming up to it, and I definitely love The Man with the Golden Gun. Yeah, my dad and I both love it, and we talk about it every once in a while, just like. It's one of those ones that like gives you the warm and fuzzies.
It's the warm and fuzzies.
Kind of movie that people just beat down for so long, and then all of a sudden, but over time, people are like,
it's not so bad.
Like, hey, are you all right? Like, sorry, we kicked you. It's okay.
We shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, take my hand.
All right. Well, that's me.
I apologize. Yeah. That was three for me because I remember number two was the
parachute.
The parachute jump.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Maybe perfect list for me.
Yeah.
I'm happy with my ranking there. Well, no. I said my four and five would have swapped. Damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I was close. Closest yet.
All right. So we're coming into the home stretch here.
Oof.
And I'm going to take us to Sillyville for this one. So which Bond villain would you want to be your wingman at the bar?
Ooh,
your wingman.
That's fun.
Oh boy. Yeah. Wow. There's very few people on this planet I would assign that role for.
What's the goal of the wingman in this situation? What are we trying to do here?
Well,
me and said villain. Or is that my own scenario to make up?
Get lucky. What else are you
doing? Use your imagination.
What do you do at a bar with a wingman?
What's that?
I'm a novice when it comes to this. No, I'm kidding.
No, I was his first. No, I'm joking.
Yes, totally.
This is a family. This is a family program, right?
It's a family podcast. Yes,
it's explicit.
So first up, we have Elliot Carver from Tomorrow Never Dies.
Hmm. On a stealth boat. This Justin, there's a girl over there. She really likes you. Five. Get him out of here.
Four.
Tell him to go read his newspaper somewhere else.
All right. Franz Sanchez from License to Kill.
Marco's like, he's got a what type of lizard is that? I keep on saying
iguana.
An iguana. Thank you. I was like, is that a gecko? What the
an hell? Iguana?
An iguana.
He's all got right, iguana. Solid two. If they don't like the iguana, I don't want them.
You know, I was going to put him at two, but he's got such game. I feel like he, as a wingman, he might accidentally, you know,
you
steal
want
the show.
Your wingman to have game.
Oh.
But he might have too much. Mm-hmm. He might distract.
A man with too much game knows when to back off.
I don't think he would.
Oh, but isn't he your friend in this situation?
Well, we see what
your
he does.
Your wingman. His goal is
loyalty is so most important. Loyalty. Loyalty, yeah.
Yeah, he's so loyal to his friends.
Two for me.
He's two. My initial instinct was two. I got to keep him there.
So you both had fives, right?
I had four.
Okay.
For the first one, yeah.
For Elliot Carver. All right. Next up, Emilio Largo from Thunderball.
Which one is that again?
The one we just... He's gonna.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. Thank you. I'm not good with the names in general. Five.
You think he's a five?
Scare the people away. I don't know. he's a suave guy. Suave.
He seems very interesting, and he's very similar in the vein of Sanchez. He can.
He doesn't have an iguana, so five.
No, but he's got an eye patch.
Oh.
He's got cigars and ice cubes for fun. I'm gonna put him at four. Something about him, I don't want him around me.
All right, I got one and three left.
It's really fun when the people have one and three, or yeah. have the one slot open.
Right?
You know what's coming?
I have one and three also.
I don't see. That's the thing. I don't know what's coming. I'm like, ha, where's this going?
All right, Scaramanga from The Man with the Golden Gun.
Ooh. One, because if they got too close, I would just be like, you know what he has three of? You know what?
You know, I think
he has a freak. He could get anyone.
Yeah, he's very wealthy. Yeah. He can treat us to a good time.
Yes, he could.
And I'm gonna put him as number one because I can imagine him being a wingman, chatting it up with people and being like, my friend over there, he's the best. You know, something like that.
She talks too much, but just ignore her.
You get as much fulfillment from talking to him as I do.
Yes, yes. Nice. See, it'd be perfect. He's my number one. My buddy.
Yeah.
It's not for me to dictate your taste, but I think you chose wisely. Our last one that goes into what, your three?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Three slot is Silva. From Skyfall.
Oh. That's Javier, right? Javier. That's a tough one to say. Yeah. Ooh, no. If I could put him at five, I would.
Don't lose your head. Just talk to my friend.
Man, that was like the first Bond movie we watched that I was actually like, oh my word, I'm scared. Oh, good. Well done. I kind of wish, you know what? I kind of wish it was one and five. Those are the more exciting lists. You're like, ooh, what's it going to be? Nice.
It's a real swing. That's right.
Yeah.
I could see him trying to like talk you up to, you know, a lady of choice or what have you. And he'd be trying to talk you up to this person, but he would have to start from the other side of the room. Slowly
yes. Walk. Oh, God. Okay. Wait, is he a number one actually?
No, he may be. He could be. Depends on your taste, but
I would love for one of our listeners to try that. Just try that. Low yes. stakes, some girl at the bar. It's okay if you get rejected. Just start from the back, slowly walk over to her. See what happens.
Yeah.
Probably nothing good.
Report back.
Yeah.
Number three.
Actually, don't do anything we tell you to do on this podcast. This is just a suggestion, not real life. I don't know. Like, what is?
All right. The final question of the eve. Okay. This is movies for the novice, aka a movie you would introduce a Bond fan to, or a Bond person to. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like an introductory, someone who might not be big on James Bond, or you understand what I'm saying? Maybe like what's an easy one to
consume?
What's
the best movie to introduce to someone who doesn't know about James Bond?
Yeah, movies for the novice. From Russia with Love.
Two.
Reasoning?
Train.
Oh. Say no more.
Love Cozy it train. Though I do. I feel like it really takes a while to get going.
Mm-hmm.
And like the train scene is so late in the movie. I'm going to put that one. I'm going to put it at four.
Yeah.
Because it's like a grower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's one that you appreciate it more over time. Mm-hmm. The more you watch it, dissect it, pick up on all the nuances of the performances, appreciate that, like the way the tension, but it's not like it doesn't quite grab you the way some of the others do.
Yeah. I accidentally tried to introduce that movie or introduce someone to James Bond with that movie. They had seen, the Daniel Craig movies, but nothing else. And it was playing at a local movie theater. So I took him to see it because I wanted to see it. And we were going to hang out that night. I'm like, hey, let's go see From Russia with Love. And it was not a success. He did not take to it. Did not take to it.
That's really disappointing when that happens too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You introduced it to me early on and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, but you're a lover of classical cinema.
Yeah,
too.
I guess that's a big thing. I don't know. If I were to tell someone, like, do you want to watch a cozy movie? There's a train in there. I won't tell you when, but there is. I think they'd stick through it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I like the lady who's like the bad lady.
Yeah.
She's real.
Rosa Club.
Yeah, I like her. Well, I don't like her, but, you know, I like her. I think she's compelling. So, yeah, I'm going to stay at 2.
Cool.
Next up, Casino Royale. 1967. No, I'm kidding. Not that one. The one we know and love.
I'll put it at 2. I feel like Casino Royale is very approachable. It's a very quippy movie. So even if you don't know the character, you like there's a lot of banter in the movie that's easy to kind of enjoy. It's like a very snacky movie that way.
Nice.
And then it's also it abandons a lot of the Bond tropes or subverts them. And I think one of the fun things about that, if you're new, is that it doesn't require you to know those things and recognize those things. As a longtime fan, you can still have a blast because you see them subverting it and it's almost like a wink at the audience, a knowing wink. And so it's there for you to enjoy, but it's not required to appreciate and understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Very well said. I'm going to put it at 1, and I can't, anything I say after that is going to sound so stupid. So, Brad, you put it perfectly. Oh, I don't. And the listeners don't doubt it either. So, I could never put it in a better way than Brad just did.
Okay.
So, 1.
And it's compelling because it's got like an actual, which I can't say for the vast majority of the movie. It has like a real actual romantic story and two actors with like genuine chemistry, right? Like genuine chemistry. Like everybody bought in the first time, guaranteed they watched that. Everybody felt the gut punch at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like there's no getting around that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It has an emotional arc, great character arc, great plot, great villain.
And they saved the Bond, James Bond, for the end.
Yeah, that's kind of what Brad was saying. Yeah. You know, it's like the wink and the nod to the odd, you know, the novices and the nostalgics.
That's right.
Great answer. All right, next up, A View to a Kill. What a view to a kill.
I'm going to say 5. It's my favorite, but I'm going to say 5, frankly, honestly. Yeah, you can't.
I know both you can't guys introduce like that one someone. Quite a bit.
I think it's got to be 5 too. Yeah. I mean, it's so wacky and zany. And if you don't understand the series and the history that it is like wildly veering off course from, then it's hard to appreciate like what is going on and why. And like Roger Moore is not at the like top of his game in that movie, you know, at least like aesthetically, it's just like, I feel like as a brand new viewer, that would be a very confusing experience.
That is very fair.
Yeah.
Both of you have it at 5.
Oh, yeah. For ditto, says I.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I threw in 1 or 2 here that are kind of more like, I would never think of introducing someone to that. Or maybe you would. Because next up is You Only Live Twice. You only live twice.
In this day and age, maybe a 4. If we're not taking in the craziness.
The spiciness.
I'll put it at 3. No, I'll put it at 4. I'll put it at 4.
I think this is tricky. I feel like it brings you a lot of the formula that the series is so well known for. And it brings you a lot of the like iconography that feels so familiar to people, even if they haven't seen the series. I mean, like, people just exist in pop culture. They know about Austin Powers. So much of, you know, that was lifted from You Only Live Twice. It shows you one of my favorite elements of the series, which is the travelogue quality of the franchise, of, like, you know, going to these far off places. And it does it at a time and a moment that feels very romantic, going to Japan in the 60s with incredible cinematography, gadgets. I will put it at one, even though there are parts of it that a first time viewer is going to be like, so let's talk about the fact that they tried to turn a 6'2" Scottish man, disguise him as an Asian. Like, just not great.
For a first time viewer, I'm going to keep it at 4. Mm-hmm. I think you, just the way you described it, it took me out of it for a second, where I was like, no, you know what? It is a beauty. And then you said that last part, and I was like, oh, yeah, wait, never mind. For a first time viewer, it's a lot to chew on.
It is. You're saying, Brad, that the good outweighs the spicy.
Yes. And even those things are, in a way, a great introduction to the series, if you think about it, because a lot of those movies have elements that are really dated and sometimes problematic. But, like, that, you know, that is something the franchise has in general embraced, is being a product of its times. I mean, the movies from the get-go have leaned into current trends whenever those were. And that includes all the way up to, you know, the movies of the 2000s and the 2010s. And this movie does that. So I like where I have it.
You Only Live Twice is personally one of my favorites also. And it's actually, as we sit, it's probably my most, like, I don't want to say rewatch, but I put it in more than any other Bond movie for some reason. I've mentioned before, I do enjoy falling asleep, being lulled to sleep by a James Bond movie. And that's the one that gets turned on probably the most throughout the year.
I've heard you say a few times that, like, you know, putting on a movie like from the James Bond franchise is like a cozy feeling. And I get a cozy feeling from You Only Live Twice, for sure.
It's probably top cozy for me as far as Bond movies go. I don't know what it is, but it is definitely, you know, it's very sweeping, you know, from the score to the travel and just the sets from Ken Adam is incredible. The look of this movie is just so, I don't know, enticing. I just find a lot of, like, safety while I watch it. I love You Only Live Twice. Last but not least, what do you got left? 3?
I think I have the 3 slot open.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
Both of your 3s?
Mm-hmm.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm happy with my list.
Yeah. Yeah.
On Her Majesty's, and because I often think that could be a fairly decent introductory to someone with James Bond. My biggest problem with that is the same with Casino Royale. And I do think Casino Royale could be the perfect movie to introduce someone to for, like, a modern viewer. Same issue, though, is a hair long. They're both about 2.5 hours long, and sometimes that's not a very digestible time frame for a lot of people.
On Her Majesty's too, also, there's a lot of Easter eggs and homages and stuff. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, if you don't know what he's doing or why it's in there, it's not going to add anything to the movie. It's not going to give you anything to talk about or think about. It's just going to be kind of a throwaway.
It's extra fluff.
in like, for example, like him whistling the "We Have All" or whatever it is.
He whistles Goldfinger.
Thank you. That's what he whistles. Sorry.
the janitor. You kept saying Bond does it.
Yeah, janitor. The janitor's doing it. I wasn't wearing my glasses when we were watching it. Sorry.
Like, why is James Bond sweeping the floor?
the janitor's whistling. That you can kind of glaze over. You're just like, oh, okay. He's just whistling. That's fine. When he's like, the other fella never had to deal with this or whatever. You're like, wait, what? Like, what are you talking about? This movie just started. There's no other fella. Mm-hmm. So that would be my biggest gripe about, well, just in general about the movie, but why I would not introduce this to a newcomer.
Fair.
Maybe two or three movies in, I'd be like, yeah, why don't you take a look at this guy?
That's another one that it's kind of like From Russia with Love. Like I love that one. It's one of my absolute favorites. There's so much to enjoy there and kind of pick apart as a big fan. But as a casual fan, you'd probably watch it and be like, okay, the acting in this is like kind of lame. And I don't, you know, I could see that as being like kind of a tough one to, you know, latch on to.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Fair enough. Well, that was our Bond blind ranking. We got to chat it up with Brad about some James Bond stuff as promised.
It was a Bond blind ranking with context, with eloquence and with thought.
Stuff that I
never bring to the table. Okay?
Yeah, stuff that we don't do, but certainly appreciate. And we really appreciate you coming on, Brad, and hanging out with us and sharing with us not only your Bond love and your Bond updates, or not updates, that's the next thing, your rankings, but hey, your updates on Sanderson and Rhodes.
Does your watch case have a name, like other, not just Sanderson, not
like a model name,
like, yeah, like, you know, you have the
Submariner,
the Agatha, the flu, I don't know, like, it's, you know what I mean,
the flu.
Is it the flu? I knew it. I
can't believe you guessed it.
I knew it.
That was actually part of the build up, so I don't know if we can edit that out. No, I was joking.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, okay.
You're so convincing.
You're a great actor. You're a natural actor. You know he acts.
Do you act? You should.
I do not act. Thank you guys so much. Truly, thank you for having me on. It's so fun to come on and chop it up about all this. And yes, it does have a name. And you guys will all find out soon.
That's so cool.
Yes,
if the question was, is it somehow tied in to the James Bond franchise, you would be correct as well.
Can we incentivize people to guess the name? Or should we say, not your business?
The Yolt.
Yolt?
It is a free country and it is your platform.
We have free will, after all.
Go ahead and put in the comments what you think the Sanderson and Rhodes, what would we call that?
Like
the watch case name or the model numbers or the watch case name itself. So Sanderson and Rhodes is the brand,
right,
the watch case name.
I cannot wait for the reveal. This is exciting. Ooh, I love that. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for playing. Thanks for playing a game with us. you can come back to our house anytime. This has been wonderful. Thank you for your insight. Thank you for the updates. You're welcome back anytime.
It was a blast. My pleasure.
Absolutely.
And where can the people find you? I know we said at the beginning, but maybe they fast forwarded. Where can they find you?
Instagram, Sanderson and Rhodes. All one word, sandersonandrhodes.com. And you can hop on there and join the waiting list for when the watch case gets released. I'll run some announcements when it's coming up. It's going to be a really limited, small initial production. So I expect, or I very much hope that it will go quickly. And I really want to get it into the hands of the Bond fan community. It is for all of you guys. I am one of you guys. And so I hope that it measures up in that way. I feel like it's in a way an impossible standard, but that's where you can check me out. And if it resonates with you, send me a message, because I really do just get an absolute kick out of getting to talk to other people that are into this stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. And I'm very much looking forward to March 8th, when not only we'll see each other in the flesh, but to, you know, also in the flesh, gaze upon your watch case prototype, and truly to see others in the Bond community at that event interacting and seeing your product really come to life. And what kind of feedback you're going to get. I'm really looking forward to
I'm excited too. And for anybody that's come, I'm going to bring the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like, I'm going to be an open book. Like, I've been making some mistakes, and if anybody's ever been curious what it's like to develop a product, you'll be able to see, all the ins and outs of what we've kind of been through so far.
Awesome. Amazing. Really awesome. Really looking forward to seeing you once more.
Oh, we're going to see each other so soon. So excited.
In a couple months. Yeah.
Awesome. I can't wait.
All right.
On that
note, send us home, Margo.
I'm Margo.
And I'm August.
Wait.
Yeah. No. Tell us where they can find us.
Oh, right. Sorry. No, we're not done yet. You can find us on Instagram, and only Instagram, at A Good Squeeze. Where can they listen?
You can listen to us wherever you're listening to us, but we're also on things like Spotify, Google Play, iHeart, whatever, wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, we're there. And our URL, if you want to listen to us on website, is Audio Boom.
Yeah. And on that note, I'm Margo.
I'm August.
Who are you?
This is Ben.
A Good Squeeze.